dive back into the Word of God and looking at the continued picture of Christ as the bridegroom. Christ is our bridegroom. We shidukin, the groom visits, the mohur, the payment for the bride, ketubah, the covenant made, the covenant held. You get to the fifth process, which is the betrothal. This is a little bit different than our engagement status is, but because in our engagement status, we actually get to see our bride, we get to see our fiancé. Normally in this betrothal, once that covenant is made, once that is done, the bridegroom leaves. We see Jesus make the payment. We see Jesus on the cross as he made that payment. He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, he rises from the grave. And that's what we celebrate today. We celebrate the resurrection. 3 days later, he rises from the grave and he spends 40 days with his disciples. 40 days in this time period. This is before he leaves, and it says in Acts 1, 6 through 7, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. He had mentioned several other times in Matthew 24, verses 36, it says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows what even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only knows when I am returning for my bride, is what he's talking about. He's talking about that return. He's with them for 40 days. He's teaching them in that 40 days, and then he ascends. He ascends, and what does it say? He ascended. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This time of this betrothal period is Jesus Christ. He's with the Father and he is preparing for us a place to reside with him. See, what the groom would do in this period, he'd make the covenant, he'd leave, he'd go back to his Father's house, and in his Father's house there'd be his room, and he would make another room for him and his bride. And he would prepare that room so that he could go and get his bride. And that time period for preparing that room would sometimes last as a year, maybe 2 years. But he did not know, the bridegroom did not know when he was going to go see his bride, when he was going to go and carry his bride away. The only one that knew that was the Father. And that Father would look in that room every once in a while and say, it's not ready yet. And the bridegroom would continue to prepare, and he might think it's ready, and the Father would walk back in the room and say, it's not ready yet. It's not ready for her. And so when it was the perfect in the Father's mind for being ready for his bride, the groom's bride to come, he would say, go get your groom, go get your bride. See, Katie and I, when we got married, we made invitations to know when our wedding was. I actually have it in my front of my Bible. That's the romantic side of me. Okay, so, yeah. But in my Bible, I have our invitation to our wedding. And we made these invitations up. I got engaged to Katie. We didn't quite know when we were going to get married. We had a set days because Katie's dad is a school teacher. He does not like taking off any time from school. And this was going to happen after school was let out. We knew it was going to happen sometime in there. It had to be after June 1st or so because that's when school would get out. And so we kind of had an idea when this was going to take place. We didn't know exactly. We got engaged. It was very quickly after that, though, we set the date. It was going to be June 14th. All right, so that's my anniversary, just so you all know. June 14th, that day was set. And I looked forward to that day. I looked forward to the day that I was going to be able to marry my fiance. I looked forward to that day because that was the day I got married. In this Jewish custom, they didn't know when that day was coming. That day wouldn't come until the bridegroom finished preparing the room to the father's specifications, and when the father said, "Go get your bride," then the bridegroom would come. Before Jesus Christ left, he gave us a gift, though. One of those things to help remember. It's kind of what the significance, the engagement ring has lots of significance to us, and part of that, the significance of the engagement ring is to remember, I'm engaged. This is a gift. And Jesus Christ, when he leaves, and when the bridegroom would leave to go prepare this place, and not knowing when he was going to return, he would leave a gift. And as we read in John 14, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it has neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and I will be with you, in you." In John 14, verse 25, it says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you the remembrance of all that I have said to you." That gift of the Holy Spirit was the gift to help us remember Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, who is away preparing a place for us right now. And one day he is going to return, because the final step of the bridegroom is to carry off the bride. My wife knew when I was coming down, and she was still happy to see me. We don't know when Jesus Christ is coming for us, because only the Father knows. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. It says in Matthew 25, he's given the parable of the 10 virgins. He's speaking to those around him, and he says this, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish, 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And afterward the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" We don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. We don't know that day, that hour, but we do know that there will be a shout. There will be the sound of the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians, "For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Our bridegroom is coming, and it is going to be with a shout, just like this bridegroom comes to these 10 virgins, and 5 of them, they hear that, they wake up. There's nothing wrong with them sleeping. They were attentive. They heard that the bridegroom's coming. They awake, and 5 of them were without oil. They're trying to trim their lantern so that they're prepared for that bridegroom. And the same will be for us. The bridegroom is coming to carry us off. So what is our response to Jesus Christ as the bridegroom? Be ready. Don't be Don't be like the unwise that don't have the oil. Be like the wise that brought the extra oil with them. But be ready. Jesus Christ is coming. First Thessalonians 5, but since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and for the helmet of hope and salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Be ready for the bridegroom. Be set apart. 1 Peter tells us, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Be set apart. We are not betrothed to Jesus Christ to not be set apart to him. We are part of the bride of Christ, and as the church, as individuals of that body, as individuals of that bride, we are to be set apart to be holy. We are not to, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're not to go and focus on another groom and be married, think about being married to somebody else like this world that is around us. The problem is that there is so much around us that we, when our eyes get distracted, we want. And Christ doesn't want us to want that. Christ wants us to want him and be set apart to him. That's why all through the Old Testament, God refers to Israel of being in adultery when they go and they worship false gods. They're cheating on him. We're to be set apart. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go with him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come, the one the bridegroom will bring us to. And finally, we are to be fasting. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 in verses 14 through 15, Jesus Christ says, Then the disciples of John came to him, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not? And Jesus said, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away, when Jesus Christ goes to be with the Father to prepare for us a place. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast. We will fast. Matthew 25 says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they transfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, and your fasting may be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. See, we're supposed to be fasting, looking forward to the return of our bridegroom. When was the last time you fasted? Besides fasting for a surgery, when the doctor tells you to, when was the last time you fasted? It's not to be answered aloud. It's not to brag about, well, I fasted just yesterday, or I fasted the past 40 days. It's not that at all, but it's to cause us to consider this, because since we became part of the bride of Christ, we are told by Jesus that when the bridegroom leaves, we'll fast. Well, the bridegroom's not here. We're supposed to be fasting. Fasting is giving up something to focus on the bridegroom, to long for the bridegroom coming. That fasting of giving up of food or giving up of certain activities or things that we get addicted to and replacing it with scripture memory, replacing it with meditation, replacing it with praying. I love what David Mathis, he says, without purpose and a plan, it's not Christian fasting, it's just going hungry. Don't say I'm fasting just to fast and not have a plan. The bride is to be fasting when the bridegroom is not present. This is to help us to focus on that bridegroom coming and to help us in longing for the bridegroom. John Piper wrote, when I am not being medicated by food, what comes out of my heart? Anger or lust? Fasting lets us see where our heart truly is. How many of you get hungry and get what my wife calls hangry? Okay. That's a revealing of your heart. And sometimes I brush it off. Well, I'm just hungry. Well, it's because I've been working and I haven't had time to eat and not really focusing on anything. And now I'm just getting hungry for being hungry. But I wonder when we fast and when we don't eat and we're not being medicated by that food, what is our true heart? And fasting should reveal parts of that to us, of what our true heart is as we long for and wait and anticipate our bridegroom coming for us. Our response should be one of ready, fasting, and being set apart for the bridegroom, longing for his return to take us away. The pastor at Woodlands Point Community Church wrote this, so we live in this present day as those who are consecrated for our future groom, holy and set apart, uniquely and distinctively his. We live today with an eager sense of anticipation for the return of our groom on a tomorrow yet to come. We live today as those who are valued not by the standards of this world, but by the infinite price our Savior was willing to pay for us on the cross. We are invaluably his and he ours. We anticipate, we expect, and we prepare. Our groom is coming back to take us home. I hope we are better prepared than what the disciples were when Jesus Christ died. They thought as he rode into the city, he was going to be this great king, and then all of a sudden their hopes were kind of washed away because all of a sudden he's being taken off, tried, and killed. They weren't prepared when Jesus Christ said, in 3 days I will rise again. And Mary and Martha, they go to visit the tomb, and they get there and Jesus Christ is gone, and yeah, he's been raised from the dead. He's not here. That's what he was saying the whole time. That's why we celebrate Easter, is Jesus Christ's resurrection. And I hope that we are prepared, that we are longing for, that we are expecting the return of Jesus Christ to come and take away our bride. When we look at that song, In Christ Alone, I think my wife can get it on the screen there. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he arose, and he stands in victory. Since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. I hope that as we go away from here today, we long and anticipate the bridegroom coming to receive us again, to carry us off, because we have that hope. Up from the grave he arose, and he stands in victory. Since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are our bridegroom. I thank you that you are coming again. I pray, Lord, that we would be ready. Father, that we would long for it, that we would fast until you return, that we would be setting ourselves apart, that we would be holy, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Father, help us to dig into your word, to long your arrival, to carry us home, Father. Help us as we remember you are our bridegroom. And Father, we are the bride. Father, you only know when you're going to send your son to come get us. But Father, we pray it be quick. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' most holy and precious name.
As we close.